The Business Buzz Podcast.
The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to The Business Buzz right here on VAW FM 88.1. My name is Mdiwa Mob Justice Kavaza and I'll be your host until about 8 p.m. Who says that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to unpack and keep you educated, entertained and intrigued about the world of business. We are broadcasting live from our studios right here in Braamfontein, Johannesburg. Now for today, we surely have all heard some stories about entrepreneurs that started from humble beginnings, running side hustles in school and went on to fully multi-millionaires such as Mark Zuckerberg, who is one of those people who started Facebook at Harvard University in his dorm room and his other college roommates, and then went on to become a billionaire. There's no doubt that university education is slowly becoming progressively diverse, and with a greater emphasis being placed on doing other things outside academia, whether it's participating in sports, student societies, or even having a young side hustle. So for today, that's what we are going to be talking about. Now we're going to be talking about all things student entrepreneurship and what it means to have a young hustle, and that could potentially become a big business one day. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And in studio, we have Karabo. Karabo, you need to guide me here. Is it?
Should I guide you?
Is it Pecha?
Yes, it's Karabo Pecha.
Pecha. Yeah, yes. And together with Philip Ntlovu and Tabi Samaweni, who are all from Find a Funder, and then we also have Sipiwe Blom, who is the co-founder and MD of the Convenience Group. He's also an investment analyst with Mutualism. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
And they're all going to be talking to us about their insights into their ventures, because they're all running various businesses around campus. So that's what the show is going to be looking like for today. Definitely make sure you hold on. We're going to be talking to them in a few minutes, but just before we get into that, we are going to be getting into the news of the week in our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news, and we're going to be doing it with Lebo Pasha, who is our financial expert. Remember that you can keep in touch with us on Facebook. Let us know if you've come in contact with any of these businesses. Do you have your own business and the like? Remember that on Facebook we are Voice of Vits. That's VAW FM together with the Vits Radio Academy. That's on Facebook. And then on Twitter, we're at VARFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. You can also find our podcasts. Remember that they are available on vits.journalism.co.za/business, and you can also search for us on iono.fm, where you can find our podcasts and links over there. So that's how the show is going to be looking like. We are here until 8 p.m. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Rep with Lebo Pasha.
For us to get into the week's top trending business economics news, and we are joined on the line by a financial expert. We have Lebo Pasha. Lebo, how are you?
Hi, Mudiwa.
So it's only the second time that we've gotten to talk to you this year. What's been going on this week? There's been a lot of things going on, some budget speech, some corona. You know, I hear that we're in a recession. What's going on this week?
Yeah, I think we had a very volatile week, and it's turning out to be a very exciting week for South Africa in terms of news and changes. Exciting because new changes and different things happening always present opportunities. But I think one of the biggest things is definitely the fact that we are officially in a recession. South Africa only grew by 0.2% last year. And in the last two quarters of last year, our economy actually contracted, which meant that we are in a technical recession. So, yeah, that's not so great news, but I think it's also probably a good reality check. And from what you were talking about earlier about side hustles, I think people need to pay more attention to things like that, and also make sure that we are very wise about and think long-term about how we spend money and what we get for our money value as well.
And then apart from that, I understand that, you know, there's been other news this week. What do you think has been standing out for you this week?
So definitely the other two items that I thought we'd talk about is the budget speech and the coronavirus. So on the budget speech, I think it became very, very clear to most South Africans and to some economic analysts as well that our Minister of Finance's budget speech was actually written as a, I don't think a poem necessarily to Moody's, but trying to really address the issue that Moody's brought up as seriously concerning issues for the South African economy. And he's tried to find solutions to some of these issues without necessarily slowing down the economy. So he's been widely applauded, and I think he was quite brave in some of the moves he's taken. One of the big ones is definitely not increasing taxes, as a lot of economists have expected, because an increase in taxes generally slows down economies. So he hasn't done that, but he's chosen to rather target government expenditure. And we don't know how successful he's going to be with that up until he starts having hard conversations with the likes of COSATU and some of the unions affiliated with COSATU that their membership base carries the bulk of public sector workers. So I think over the next couple of weeks, we're really going to see some of the real hard work around turning around South Africa's economy and seeing whether our cabinet with our president is able to lead from the front, because I think one of the big challenges they're going to get from the likes of COSATU is the cabinet itself and the president willing to also forego an increase in their remuneration.
And then on top of all that, do you think, because you've already said that it was brave, implementation-wise, how are you feeling about that?
So the biggest issue we've had as a country for probably the last 10 to 15 years is that we've always said the right things, but we've never really been able to implement any of those things. And I think with where we stand with the other two ratings agencies, Fitch and the S&P, it's a strong indicator of how much credibility we've lost in international markets and in the face of a lot of our counterparts globally. So we've been seen as a country that does say the right things, but we don't have the political will to actually do them. And I think Moody's has already drawn the line in the sand. And yeah, I'd say at this stage, it's very difficult to say whether we'll be able to implement any of those changes. And this is why a lot of commentators are really looking to see how the Minister of Finance and how the cabinet in general deals with having to reduce the public sector wage bill. Because if they win this battle, it's one of the biggest battles for any government to fight. They will then have, it will be a downhill sort of walk for them in dealing with a lot of the other areas of public expenditure that need to be corrected. One of the biggest ones being fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because in South Africa, if you look at the kind of value for money that we get for each taxpayer rand that is put into education and put into healthcare, we are very far where we need to be. We are very wasteful as a country of the money that we have, especially a country that has a budget for health, a budget for education that is way beyond what some of our African counterparts have as their total national budget.
So for you, because we slipped into recession this week, we've already spoken about the budget, and at the same time, the coronavirus is continuing to be such a big strain on economies all around the world. Going forward, what do you think will be a big risk for South Africa? Because apart from the recession and the pending, Moody's announcement, is it coronavirus or is it a continued shrinkage of the economy? What do you think poses a bigger risk for us?
So I think right now it's actually turning out to be the coronavirus that is probably the unexpected challenge that we're going to face as a country, because what the coronavirus has done, it has slowed down China's economy to its lowest rate of growth since the global recession. It's got America also asking questions of whether the U.S. will slip into a recession. And if you look at those two countries, they are part of the top five countries that we as South Africa have trade with. And if those two countries slow down, we are definitely going to be in trouble as a country. It means that we will have a much deeper recession than we currently have. So we definitely can't ignore the coronavirus. We've got our first case of it now. And very recent history, people can think back to what happened with listeriosis. So there's definitely huge economic impacts that are going to come from the coronavirus. We've already seen them in China, where China has slowed down the purchasing of certain commodities and products in global markets. And we've seen Italy now shutting down schools and universities. So I think that's the biggest challenge we're going to be facing in the next couple of weeks and possibly the next couple of months, depending on where this pandemic goes.
So that's been us with Lebo Pasha, who is our financial expert, letting us know the top trending news and business news of the week. He's highlighting three particular issues, that is the South Africa in recession, because Stats SA actually said the other day that we've moved into that status of recession. Just reflecting as well on the budget speech, which he says a lot of it was quite brave on the part of the minister, but the big issue is going to be implementation, because we tend to have a lot of good ideas in the country, but actually making things happen is quite another story. But he highlights the coronavirus to say that for the rest of the year, or into at least the short term, it will likely be one of the biggest strains on the economy, because we're not even sure where it's going, where it's coming from. I think earlier today there was a report that there was the first confirmed case in South Africa, in KZN. So, you know, things like that, you don't know what the issue will look like in the next maybe a week, a month, or the next 2 months, because where we were with the coronavirus at the start of the year, where we are now is a completely different place. So that's been us. On the other side of this, we get into the Buffalo Index. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get back into it, and right now it's time for us to tell you how your 100 Rand is doing out in the market. And since we have people that have businesses on campus, we decided that perhaps we should find out what 100 Rand can do for you and in their various businesses. So first, I think let's talk to Find a Funder and just find out from any one of you, with 100 Rand, what can a person actually do?
Hi. So if you're a company, a corporate, an SME, a municipal organization, with 100 Rand and Find a Funder, you can get the best quality candidate being a student or graduate, into your organization within seconds.
For less than 100 Rand?
For less than 100, you can get access to that person.
Oh. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's what we guarantee.
That's what you guarantee.
Yes. To a person,
yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're going to talk to them, you know, later on, just to find out what that actually means and how the business works. But yeah, I also want to switch over then to Convenience Group.
Yes.
Because you are sort of dealing in the stationary part of the world, you know. So what can 100 Rand do for a person?
So, since we are here at the Business Buzz, 100 Rand can get you a book by my shop. Let me say, like, 100 Rand is 33% of that book.
Ah.
It's called Business Ideas for Everyone. It's been it's wrote by my friend, Njabulon M. Daga. It talks about business ideas literally for everyone,
yeah,
where literally the book, it has over 630 business ideas and the strategies of execution.
Yeah.
So since we are here at the Business Buzz, I will encourage everybody to come, 33 here at next to Jorisen Street, to come and get the book for themselves.
So I can confirm that for one Buffalo, you can get three of those books?
No. You need three Buffaloes to get that book. But literally with one Buffalo, you can get other things such as your highlighters, your pens, by the stationery shop.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah. Cool. No. My maths went a bit off there. No, but I get you. But yeah. did you just say 600 business ideas?
Yes, definitely. 630 business ideas, yeah, within that book, and starting strategies of execution. As we know that there are so many business ideas out here, but they lack execution. So that book specifically speaks about execution of the ideas.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So that's been it in terms of the Buffalo Index for today. On the other side of this, we're going to be getting into the main topic, and we're going to be expanding to actually understand what the two businesses are doing on campus and some of the products, some of the offerings, some of the services. So keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz right here on VOW FM 88.1. It's time for us to get into our main topic. But before that, just remember that you can join in the conversation. Let us know what you think about our guests, their business ideas, and if you've ever interacted with any of their businesses on campus. So, as I said at the start of the show, we are joined by Karabo Pecha, together with Philip Ntlovu and Tabisa Maweni, who are all from Find a Funder. And then we also have Sipiwe Blom, who is the co-founder and MD of Convenience Group. So to just start things off, we need to just get the usual questions out of the way. You know, the baseline questions, this is what we like to call them. How did it begin? Why did you choose to get into that business? And I will start with Sipiwe.
All right. So for me, it all started in varsity, I would say formally so. But before that, you know, I believe that I share the same story with a lot of entrepreneurs, from selling small sweets, you know, in primary to high school, selling everything. And then, boom, you find yourself in the space of the university and you start, you know, you want to formalize everything. So when I was doing my first year at Wits, when I was studying biological sciences, I was literally trying to do ends meet even there because I didn't have much. And then that's where I literally started selling. So my sister gave me one book when I left home, which was a biology book. And then it started there. I sold like one book and then I got, you know, somebody requesting the same book. And literally it went from one book 5 years ago into today owning a whole, you know, stationery shop. So that's literally my journey in the space of the stationery. And then along the way, I got introduced into other things such as IT, such as photography, videography. That's how I ended up saying, you know what, I believe that I can take all of the skills that I've gathered and I can create a group, and all of these companies, they can fall under the group. Hence, my company is called Convenience Group. Under it, we have Convenience Stationery Suppliers, Convenience Media Production, Convenience IT Solution.
Yes.
So that's how it started. And one thing that I looked in terms of the common thing throughout the businesses was one thing, convenience. I believe so much in convenience. So hence the group is called Convenience Group. The value proposition is convenience.
Okay, cool. So on that end, we can then switch over to Find a Funder. And since we have three people here, three different questions. So I'll start with Karabo to say that, you know, what is the business exactly, right? And why did you guys start it? Then Philip can tell us how the business actually works, and then Tabisa can then come in to tell us how did you guys actually come together, because one of the hardest things to do is finding business partners that you can work with that will not drive you crazy.
Okay, just to start it off, so what Find a Funder is, right? So with Find a Funder, we allow companies to get the best quality candidate, their ideal candidate, in the shortest time possible. And whilst doing that, we're facilitating access to tertiary funding and graduate opportunities for students, whether tertiary funding for students in high school and in varsity, and graduate opportunities for people who are just leaving varsity or colleges or technicians for that matter. So that's what Find a Funder is, and that's where our value proposition lies.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did you guys start?
Cool. So how you started was with relationships, let me say. Everything just started off trust, one. So it was 2016 when I met Ukarabo. We were doing some engineering exposure, right, at some big mine. And what happened was that our HR manager actually asked us to come and help him sort out some HR stuff, right, which took literally the whole day. We were going through like 3,000 applications. And it was quite tedious, right? And then in second year, Tabisa. Yes, so she came to me and she's like, hey, Philip, actually have an idea. You know, how about one platform whereby literally all companies can actually come and access all the details of like students and stuff, you know, without having the, well, having to actually like apply there and there and there, right? How about one platform whereby they have access to this?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, wow. So it actually sparked something in me, you know. So this was in 2018, and we've actually been chatting about it, planning for it and everything. Literally took, that was 2018, and it's now 2020.
Yeah.
And we only launched it 2020 this week, actually.
Monday.
So yeah, on Monday.
Yeah.
On
oh,
Monday.
Wow.
Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fresh.
Yeah, we're really fresh. So
babies.
Yeah, so it took a lot of developing as well. So Tabis is doing engineering, Karabo's doing engineering, I'm doing engineering, and I'm studying IT as well. So it took a lot of planning behind it, the business model, how are we going to do this, you know, feasibility studies, etc., etc. So yeah, and now we're here.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tabisa.
So how I met Philip, as he said, we're in the same class. We're in the same class doing engineering, and I had this idea, but at the time when the idea started growing in me, I didn't know him, obviously. And then at some point, he started telling me about these platforms that they've been doing for their course, because he's doing it with IT and I'm just doing engineering. And I was just like, that's it. So that's why I also trusted him, because I've known him for a while.
Yeah.
And we've worked together in school projects and other things. So I was like, he's perfect. And then Garabo also, it was a trust thing. So when he came into the business, I was also happy, because I trust Philip. So
yeah,
yeah.
That's how
so relationships.
We got together.
Relationships.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. As Tipiwa, I just have to ask, like, are you the business, or do you have partners, and why is that?
All right, I am the business.
Yeah.
As you said before, that is very hard to find people that would literally link up with the vision that you have. So, but initially I had a partner, but my partner right now ended up going to Pretoria to become a full-time, you know, working person. And then I ended up then being control, you know, of all the businesses and everything. But under me, I have awesome teams for my stationery shop. I've got two guys, Joseph and Michael. They're running it very well. Under the media side, I have Andile and Anele that literally make sure that everything is on point. And then under the IT, I have Edwin. He's looking over everything there, and other developers that we work with there. So in terms of the umbrella, I'll say I am the, but I have right people just under me that literally are doing all the hard work, and literally they are loyal to not only me, but, you know, to the company itself.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. The other, I guess, the usual question, you know, that I feel like really does need to get out of the way is, because you said you were at Vids.
Yes.
All right. Where are you now?
Right now, I'm an alumni. Now I work at the business, but I'm still at Vids.
Yeah.
Because of...
So the business still continues at Vids?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So literally, my first business, as you know, as I told you, was in the book space. And then I was trying to find a space at Vids to literally open it inside of Vids, to operate inside of Vids. But unfortunately, I couldn't. But I said, I'm not going far away from here. And then I just jumped to the street. And then in Bloemfontein, I opened a shop there. So,
right.
Yeah. So literally, my business is still operates more closely into Vids. But because the vision is broader, it's not only for Vids students, it's also assisting Rosebank and other students so that they can get affordable stationery. That's how literally it came about. And not getting access at Vids, I believe that it pushed me to be at the right space so that I can access the huge market. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, on that point, has there been, because I'm guessing there was a bit of a transitionary period, right? Going from, you know, I guess being a student on campus, you know, and just being there in that scene. But even though you are across the road, technically speaking,
yeah.
It must be a different sort of environment. Has there been a transition? How did you navigate that?
Yeah, definitely. There was a transition. But one thing that I've been blessed with is my networking relationship and skills.
Yeah.
So I've sustained relationships on campus, literally that built up so that I can still get access to market my products to students and hand out flyers and so forth. But I won't lie, there are still those boundaries that you get as an alumni to literally run your businesses within the premises of the university. And yeah, I've been blessed just so that I can have a great network of people from different from your societies to you know, other structures, that I have found right people that literally would be there when I seek help to grow my businesses.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
I want to switch back over, you know, to find a funder.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
The name is catchy.
It's a tongue twister.
what I'm trying to figure out, right?
Yeah.
You said that you guys are helping companies to find the best candidates,
mm-hmm.
and a person can do that for less than 100 rand.
Yeah.
Yes. Guys, what do you mean? Like, when we say candidate, when we say candidate, what do we mean, right? Okay. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And what are you actually helping the companies to do with this candidate? Are they hiring them? Are they sponsoring them? Are they coming for holiday work? Like, are they being poached? Like, what's actually happening?
You actually touched on literally what Find a Funder does, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, cool. So, yes, yeah. All of the above. So we'll just start with your first one. What do we mean by you getting access to a student for under that? So basically how it works is that students sign up on the platform,
yeah,
right? They put the academic details, their personal details, and then from there an admin, a Finder Funder admin, will verify these details. So the ID copies have to be certified, the academic record has to be the latest, you know. They'll put the academic averages and stuff like that. Cool. From there, admin verifies them, either can accept or reject them. So if an admin actually rejects them, they do have the opportunity to actually correct the application, and then admin will be notified that, hey, I've corrected my application, so you know, review me again. So once that happens, that's when they are allowed onto the system.
Yeah.
Right, cool. So then from there, companies then sign up, right?
Yeah.
So then companies can only view people that have been verified by admin.
Yeah.
And they can do this for very cheap. So it's definitely but for that's a student. That's a student. Not that, yeah, cool. So I don't know if you want me to tell you about like the different ranges and stuff of what we offer, but we can jump into that. So cool. So companies,
wait, before you do that, I'll just bring Karabo in here.
Okay, cool.
To just ask, why isn't anyone else doing this?
Why isn't anybody else doing this? So
okay, well, before I make that assumption,
is anybody else doing this? So yeah. I think when we meet people, whether it's students or companies, the first thing they'll say is that, what about LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
So LinkedIn does have a division of itself called LinkedIn Recruiter.
Yeah.
So it has a very similar operating model. So on LinkedIn Recruiter, you pay LinkedIn to be a recruiter on the platform to get access to search capabilities.
Yeah.
So if you have that access, you can search that you want a graduate from South Africa who did marketing, right? So LinkedIn is our direct competitor in the graduate and internship space. But in terms of students to fund, because, I mean, people will say, why would a company fund a student, right? I think also the need for this came when we got exposure to university. We realized that there are a lot of company emails that we get throughout the year. They are looking for students to fund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe the students that they have available to them are not ideal to their requirements. So then, but then they can't really filter out the students as much as they would want to, because it takes a lot of admin, takes a lot of storage costs, posting of application forms, and communication issues. So why anybody isn't doing it,
I don't know, but
they haven't found, they haven't seen the value that we see in it. Yeah. They haven't seen the value we see in it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we're in the studio. We are with Find a Funder together with Convenience Group. Very interesting conversation that's already being had just around operating businesses on campus. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back on the other side of this. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz.
We are talking student businesses. We are talking operating on campus, and we are with a team of entrepreneurs. We've got a three-person team from Find a Funder together with Sipiwe, who is from Convenience Group. He is the business. He said that to us just now. So what I want to ask right now, and I'm gonna ask Tavisa and Sipiwe to, respond to this, but I guess from different angles, right? And the first one is, with Tavisa, is you guys have started this week, right? And I'm sure there was a lot of, you guys are coming from the engineering field, so I'm sure there must have been a somewhat scientific approach taken to this to this launch. There was a methodological way that this thing was done, right?
Diffs.
So in terms of doing the research, what type of challenges do you guys actually anticipate in operating? And then in response to that, we can have, a veteran, Sipiwe telling us, I guess, some of the things that they should probably look out for and how you would actually advise them to get over some of these challenges.
So you were spot on the challenges. we thought that everything would go so smoothly when we launched, because we've, like Philip said, this started 2 years ago. So we've been planning on it. But recently, our biggest challenge has been ensuring that the students are safe and that their details are safe on the platform. So as much as it's great that we're going to have access to their details and provide the access to these companies, it's also a concern. The security of their details, especially when things like identity theft are happening.
Mm.
So we've tried to actually delay that risk for now,
yeah,
by only allowing or opening the platform to South African citizens.
Yeah.
So that's been the biggest challenge since we've launched.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So for me, I'll talk about my biggest challenge and then I'll address their challenge also, yeah, and advise them. So my biggest challenge from being a student was time, management of time, uh-huh, between your academics, because you're at the best institution of Africa. You need to, produce the best, results as you can. And this side, you've got a business that literally needs your attention.
Yes,
you know,
it's like a baby.
Your baby, exactly. And then finding the balance between that, you need to do that, because if you don't find the balance, one must die. And at this moment, we don't want, you so that you can kill your business or stop, studying. So for me, that was the biggest one. But what I did is that I found a mentor, I found a life coach, somebody who advises me on how to go through with my academics and also how to go through with my businesses also. So for me, that literally helped me a lot. So addressing your issue about security, I believe that there are systems around this university, but there isn't an ecosystem of entrepreneurship. So you find your TMC, you find your Simulohong that literally can assist student in those, spaces of security, because they deal with IT and so forth. But there isn't, which is the biggest challenge that we have at VETS. We don't have an ecosystem of all of the systems in place so that they can be there, so that when you're an entrepreneur, you can move from one system into the other, from that, into the other one. But my advice will be, go to Simulohong, ask for, an appointment and see how they can assist you, because they are big in the space of security and IT. So that will be my advice to them.
As a follow-up, right, is, okay, this time I'll start with Sipiwe. Is there enough support, I guess, from university structures when it comes to actually supporting these businesses on campus? Do you feel like there's enough, like there's areas where you can trade or, you know, stuff like that? Like, is there support? And then have you guys who are in the system seen any supporting structures that you can use?
Yeah, so for me, I'll say there isn't enough support.
He's been shaking his head.
Yeah, there isn't enough support. This one, because it's one of the biggest things that I'm challenging at the university to literally change their policy in terms of supporting entrepreneurs. Because the policy of the university speaks about there isn't a student, there's no student who's allowed to run a business on campus. But that whole
economy...
Is that
economy, explicit?
Literally, that's what the university says. Because
really?
If you go there by VITS, DLU or services, they will tell you that you're still a student. You can't register as a vendor, you know, and... That's the biggest first thing that, you know, a lot of students are facing. They cannot run their business. And when you can go around business, here at VITS, you realize you'll see so many posters of young people who are literally trying to run their businesses. And also, there comes a challenge where they say your poster must be verified. And you go to, like, your DLU. Then they say you pay for that. You know, that those structures literally that for me, I feel like they are not... playing their role as they can or as they should, which is the first thing. There isn't a proper structure that supports entrepreneurs on campus, but I believe there is an opportunity and there is the capability within those structures to fix the way they work so that they can support entrepreneurs. Like, for instance, last week Friday, I did an activation at VITS University through one of the hubs that I co-run here at VITS, like here, and they were part of that. And one of the biggest challenges that they had was they couldn't set up a table just to call students so that they can register there. They went at one of the structures at VITS and they wanted them a ridiculous amount of money. And remember, these people, they just started now on Monday. Like last week, Friday, they were doing an activation. So through the hub, I was able to assist them to say, come, let's do an activation, and you guys, you're going to get data. And they did successfully so, and they were successful in that. So I believe that we are now pushed to become radical in terms of operating business or, like, around campus or doing entrepreneurial activities on campus. And for me, which I believe that it is not right, the university must sit down and change its policy with regards to allowing students to run businesses on campus.
Yeah. Oh wow! Okay, hey, that was very passionate. I felt that in my core, you know, because really, especially that example that you've given, the fact that a person is fighting it hard just to set up a simple, you know, table just so that they can get people to come and probably gather data from what I understand.
Literally, you know, I'm like the
traveling turtle.
I'm literally that person that he's talking about. Mm. So I went to like a VITS structure and then they said that, no, we're going to have to charge you standard promotional rates.
Yeah.
That was the response.
Based on your income.
Based on your income. Yeah. So they asked how much you guys make.
Zero.
Yeah. So I think it's that. But yeah, it's just those challenges that exist. There are, like you said, there's no ecosystem that's facilitating all of this.
Mm.
Maybe... the ideas are there, maybe the capabilities are there, but the structure to make the end user, which is us, the student entrepreneurs, feel it, are not there.
It's not there, yeah. I mean, there are as well as like organizations and competitions that run and everything, right? But they're not really integrated into like the varsity, you know, end goal, you know. So they're there, it's an external thing that a company would come and maybe host it at a particular university. But then after that due date, you know, they'll give the prize money and then, okay, that's it. You know, we've got a student from VITS, student from UJ, who actually won the prize money. But after that, in terms of like, you know, allowing people on campus, you know, things like that, it gets tricky, you know.
And I just want to say one last thing. You know, you realize also right now, one of the biggest issues that we are facing at VITS is the lack of accommodation, you know. And if you can literally trace it, one of the solutions is entrepreneurship. right? Because imagine if now a student can run a business on campus and each and every week he can make like 1,000 from, you know, the profits. It means in 4 weeks that student will have like 4,000 rand, which literally if he can get an accommodation of 2.5 or 3,000 rand, he can pay for that. And now we are in a situation whereby students are sleeping in library labs and stuff like that. And on the other side, the university is blocking students from running businesses. So for me, I believe that the one of the solutions that the university must look into in terms of resolving the issues of fees, the issues of accommodation, is through that, is through allowing students to run business on campus. And I understand that not every student is going to be interested in that space, but give those that are interested to be in the space.
Yeah, no. This one, I feel like this could just be a show on its own. This issue of supporting our entrepreneurs on campus. But as we end off the show, because we are running out of time, one question for each of the businesses: where do you guys actually see yourselves? You guys are completely different stages.
Yeah.
You guys just launched this week. CPU has actually made that transition from campus. You know, now he's operating a whole business in Bramfontein and the like, different stages. But where do you guys, I guess, see yourselves in the next, by this time next year, by this time next year, where do you each see yourselves?
Okay, cool. So we'll start with this month, right? Mm. I'll start with this month. So last week, we had activations at UJ and WITS, which saw around about over 500 students actually sign up as interest in Find a Funder. So this month, we'll be getting them onto Find a Funder, verifying their profiles, etc. The next month, we will be then diving deep into actually getting the companies, right? So while we actually accepting these students, companies will be actually now talking to them. And then, that's it for the rest of the year, I guess. Is there anything you can add?
So this time next year, right? When Philip usually, when we talk with the whole team, they're like, what's your vision, right?
Mm.
Or what the vision is. So the vision is that someday, a student walks in from like Eastern Cape or Limpopo, wherever. They walk into a company, they like, do you guys have an opportunity for bursary or graduate? And then that company responds, have you signed up on Find a Funder?
Mm.
So that's the vision.
That's the vision.
So you guys become the ubiquitous choice.
Yes, definitely. And we'll get there.
Okay, cool.
Definitely.
All right. For me, in terms of Convenience Group as general, definitely is growth. But in terms of CSS, which is Convenience Store, in terms of the stationery, I really want to branch out so that I can help the students at UJ and the likes of the institutions that are within and around Joburg. That's that in terms of the stationery shop, in terms of the media production space. I would like to shoot my first series.
Yes.
a mini series that right now me and my team are still conceptualizing it. And then in terms of the IT company, Smart Cities, next year this time, I would literally like to be one of the SMMEs in terms of the IT space that are subcontracted by the Gauteng province, in terms of, you know, working with them in terms of their goal, which is their vision about this space being a smart city.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. How can people find your business, Sipio?
All right. You can go to our website, www.convenienss.co.za. For media production, is www.convenienceMP.co.za. For IT, www.convenienceits.co.za. So, yeah, you can just check out our websites.
Tabisa, how can people engage with you guys, especially since you're young?
Okay, so you can go sign up at www.findafunder.co.za.
Yeah.
And we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's at findafunder.za.
Okay, so yeah. across all the
all social medias as like well as LinkedIn. So, yeah.
Why did you say all social medias and LinkedIn?
Well, I mean... Because LinkedIn is more professional. So I don't see it as a social media. So yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, reflexes, I guess.
Okay, cool. So that's been us. It was quite an interesting show. We were with Karabo Pecha and Philip and Lovu, together with Tabisa Maweni, who are all from Find a Funder. Very interesting story about how they came together, all engineering. So I feel like there's going to be, this one is going to have lots of books. There's going to be records being kept. Methodology is going to be there.
Yeah.
And then we also had a conversation with Sipiwe Blom, who is the co-founder and MD of Convenience Group, telling us about that transition coming from the student space and getting into the wider community. As a final word on my end, these are just some suggestions. Okay. You can take them to wherever you take them. But I really felt strongly on both sides that this issue of support is quite a strong issue. And my suggestion is on two fronts. I did not go to Vitz. I went to Rhodes. Right. So at Rhodes, I had the opportunity of being part of, you know, two movements, which I think could help. I don't know if there is one here at Vitz, but for example, at Rhodes, I was part of the Rhodes Entrepreneurship Society. Right. And there was a lot of one of the things that we'd do is we'd get people to come and, you know, like a normal pitch evening, yes, where you're pitching business ideas, etc. And we'd actually have cash prizes for the best ideas, and actually help people to perhaps find funding and all of that stuff for their businesses, you know, after that. The second one was like an institutional thing. So in my fourth year, I did what's called a PDEM. So that's a postgrad diploma in enterprise management. And I know that there is a version of that here. And ours was done at the Rhodes Business School. So what was unique about it was the fact that the business school you'd be split. I think our class had about 30 people, and you'd be split into teams of about 4 or 5 people. Mm-hmm. Then for the period of the course, which was about a year, you had to conceptualize a business at the beginning of the year, and then run that business in Grahamstown for that year. And interestingly, nice, the business school would give each group 5,000 rand, and then you had to trade, and by the end of the year have made the money back and given it back to the business school with interest. Right, because it's business. We're not doing this thing for free. We're showing you what real business is like.
Yeah.
So when it came to things like that, yeah, there was a bit of tension, you know, institution-wise. I can definitely relate, getting and trading in certain spaces, but there was that institutional support, you know. So I think those are just my suggestions,
they could
possibly work. So that's been it for today's show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. Thank you to our amazing team. Thank you to everyone, as I said, was listening. Remember that you can keep engaging with us. Let us know if you've come across any of these enterprises, or if you run something of your own. Let us know. On Facebook, we are Vow FM, that's the voice of Vitz. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is the Vitz Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at Vow FM, and then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. Remember that you can also find our podcast on vitz.journalism.co.za/business. So that's been it. Thank you to our amazing team, our producer, that is Glory Mabuza, together with the rest of our team. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Next up on the Vow FM lineup, we have Living Electro, so definitely make sure you don't turn that dial. So for myself, Mdio Mob Justice Gavasa, and the rest of the team, it is good evening and take care.
The Business Buzz Podcast.